Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LeDuc. During and just after World Wars I and II in Britain, in an era known as the Machine Age, the tumultuous political climate and the prevalence of industry and mechanization influenced the art created at that time. Machine Age Modernism, prints from the Daniel Cowan Collection, is a new exhibition at the Clark in Williamstown, Massachusetts. The exhibition features a wide range of lithographs, dry points, woodcut prints, and lino cuts produced during the period, exploring themes such as cityscapes, war, industrial technology, rural farming, sport, and leisure activity. I went to the Clark earlier this week, and J.A. Clark, the Manton curator of prints, drawings, and photographs at the Clark, brought me around the exhibition. Jay, thank you very much for taking me around this exhibition today.
I'm happy to be able to do so.
So give us the brief overview of Machine Age Modernism, prints from the Daniel Cowan Collection, and how it came to the Clark.
This was a really extraordinary opportunity the Clark had. The director and I met the collector's widow, Joyce Cowan, in New York, and she invited me to her apartment, said, "Why don't you come see my print collection one day?" And of course, curators love seeing people's private collections. So I went to her home, and there's an amazing array of works of art in her collection, and we had the opportunity over a number of years to pick the very best works in the collection and really organize an exhibition around it.
And these are works the likes of which have not been at the Clark before.
No, it's very unusual for the Clark. It's early 20th century machine age modernism, and machine age is one of those vague terms, sort of like the internet age or impressionism, but it helps sort of give a framework around the time period when these works were made, really between the beginning of the First World War and the beginning of Britain's entry into the Second World War in 1939.
So what are we looking at here?
The exhibition begins with these two large-scale posters. These posters were made for the London Underground, for the transport system. And the reason they were created is really to encourage people to visit places they wouldn't normally visit unless they were taking public transportation. So this work, for example, with the rows and rows of soldiers, is called Aldershot Tattoo. And it's not a tattoo parlor like I originally thought for a long time. A tattoo is another word for a military parade. And so what this poster encourages people to do is to take a bus specifically to this area and see the military parade and sort of support their country.
And it looks like just two color print, vibrant red and black. And how was it made?
So this is actually a color lithograph. Okay. There are some lithographs and dry points and etchings in this exhibition. And it's signed below with the name Andrew Power. And for the longest time, I was looking for an artist whose first name was Andrew and last name was Power. And then later did some research and realized that it was a collaborative team, Sybil Andrew and Cyril Power. They made this by drawing on a lithographic stone, and each color, the red and the blue-black, are drawn on two separate stones. So the red would have been printed on one stone, and then the other color would have been printed on the other stone, and then the lettering would probably have been added later, the advertising at the bottom.
It's very dynamic, and yeah. I totally want to go to the Aldershot tattoo. And what about this one?
And this poster is quite interesting. When I first saw it in the apartment, I had no idea what I was looking at because it's a poster before the letters have actually been added. And then here on the label, we realize after the letters have been added, for the Derby, Morden Station, thence by bus, et cetera, et cetera. And this is actually an image to encourage visitors to go to the Epsom Summer Derby, which was a horse race. And so what they would do is they would take the transport, and then these double-decker buses that we see in red at the top would bring them to the Derby. And then people are standing on top of the double-decker buses watching the horse race.
That's beautiful.
It's great.
And we're entering a room. A heading on the wall says Printmaking and World War I.
So all the works in this portion of the exhibition are made in the context of World War I by two artists, C.R.W. Nevinson and Edward Wadsworth. Both were involved in the war effort, both on the front. One was an ambulance driver, another worked for the Navy Reserve. But then both ended up creating works of art based on their experiences.
And what format did they work in?
This is a dry point. Wadsworth made that particular print, and he printed it in a sort of brownish-blackish ink. But this is called Returning to the Trenches, and we see this group of soldiers, very grim and determined-looking, going off to war, going off to the trenches. And this sort of frenzied movement we see with their feet below reflects Nevinson's absorption of a particular style that was known as Futurism. And Nevinson was known as one of the artists who brought Italian Futurism to England.
Did he discover it in his travels during the war?
He became friends with one of the founders of the Futurist movement, whose name was Marinetti. And he and Marinetti, in fact, wrote a manifesto called Futurism and British Art. So he really learned about the movement in England through exhibitions and through meeting this particular writer, Marinetti.
And I'm realizing, as you keep saying dry point, that I barely or don't know what that is. Yes. So could you describe that, please?
Very few people actually know what a dry point is. What you do is you take a copper plate, and then you have a very sharp instrument, and you draw into the plate as you would a drawing. The dry point is very sharp, and what it does is it creates a furrow, almost like you're having a plow go through a field. It creates a furrow on either side of the line, and then those furrows actually pick up the ink, and that is what is printed in the dark color.
They have such expression. They're very, like you said, they're grim and densely populated, and it looks like they're in a terrible situation, which of course they were.
Yes, of course, very bold. And the reason for doing a dry point is when it's printed, it doesn't have one crisp, sharp line. The line is like a little bit fuzzy around the edges, so it gives kind of a slight hazy quality to the line.
All right, where do you want to go next?
This is really an amazing woodcut. This is made by Edward Wadsworth, and as I mentioned, he was involved in the Navy. But another thing that he did is he painted camouflage onto major ships that then went out to participate in the war effort. And these were called dazzle ships. And so what we see here are these sort of abstract lines, huge abstract lines painted on the ships. Artists like Wadsworth created the designs on paper and then actually executed the painting on these very large ships. And the idea was not camouflage as we think of it today, like dark green fatigues or something like that. The idea behind the abstract designs painted on these ships was so that when the enemy was looking at the ship, they couldn't tell what direction they were going in or how fast they were going in.
So it confuses the eye. And this is a woodcut, which is what it sounds like, carved out of wood and printed.
Exactly. What you do in a woodcut is you take a block of wood. It can be all different kinds of wood. Some woods are harder, some woods are softer. And you take a tool and you dig out the areas that you want to print white. And then what is left raised is then inked up with an ink, in this case black ink, and then printed. Can be printed multiple times. This is a woodcut by Edward Wadsworth called The Open Window, which was in fact printed in a number of different colors. You can use a number of different wood blocks to print different colors, and what you usually do is have each wood block is cut and printed for each individual color, as we're going to see later with the linocuts. This is called The Open Window, and I think you wouldn't necessarily know what it is unless you had the title in front of you. It's a purely abstract work. But I think once you see the title, you have this sense of a window pane, sort of shifting lights, reflection on the windows. To me, it's very powerful, very small in scale, but really gives you a sense of the beginnings of abstraction in England. The art scene in Britain at the time was very, very conservative, and artists like this were seen as completely radical.
All right, and here we're in front of one by C.R.W. Nevinson.
Yes, this is a large-scale lithograph called Making the Engine. And this particular print was created by Nevinson after he left active duty in the war, and he became a war artist, essentially. And this was from a print portfolio that was made called Britain's Efforts and Ideals. And it was supposed to be marketed mostly to the U.S. So the U.S. would see they weren't just in the trenches and on warships, but many people in Britain were working towards this effort to win the war, and in this case, they're making airplane engines. So this is called Making the Engine. We see a man at a lathe creating an engine, but also in this very dynamic composition with lines going up and down diagonally.
So you have a very busy factory setting with other workers in the background.
Exactly.
Machine Age Modernism, prints from the Daniel Cowan Collection, is on display at the Clark in Williamstown, Massachusetts through May 17th. We've entered another section of the show.
Yes, this is the largest section of the exhibition, and it relates entirely to the British linocut movement.
And what is, for people who don't know, what is linocut?
A linocut is essentially made from linoleum flooring, those square bits of flooring you have in your kitchen or in your bathroom or you've ripped up years ago to expose the beautiful hardwood floors underneath. Right. But linoleum is exactly what it is, linoleum flooring. And it was created in the UK in the late 19th century. And it was marketed specifically for flooring. And it was seen as very modern and very clean and gave clean lines and was really marketed more towards women than it was towards men. Obviously, women, the idea of making the decisions in the household, what the flooring would look like.
And the process of a linocut is similar to a woodcut, except it's linoleum and not wood.
Exactly. And that's why a lot of children use the linocut, because it's a softer surface, so it's easier to cut into than a wood block. And each color is cut from a different linoleum block. If you have a line of cut that has 17 colors, that means 17 linoleum blocks were cut and carefully registered one on top of the other to print on the same sheet of paper.
All right, let's talk about some of these. Well, how about, anybody who knows me will be like, oh, of course you chose that one, but there's a bright orange one right here. Let's talk about that.
This is by an artist named Sybil Andrews, and she's the most numerically represented in this exhibition. She's a British artist who trained at the Grosvenor School of Modern Art. Most of the artists in the line of cut section all trained at the Grosvenor School of Modern Art, and it was a very open-ended curriculum. It opened in the 1920s. By a man named Ian McNabb, and the idea was he didn't have to have specific training as you would have to join the Royal Academy. You could have any level of training. You can just join one class. You can take all the classes. There was art history, architecture, design, drawing, painting, printmaking, all sorts of different things. But what the Grosvenor School is now best known for are these artists creating line of cuts. And what we have here is a print in bright orange, blue, and black. And these sweeping curves in orange, and the title is Rush Hour, but what it actually depicts, I learned on an earlier impression of this print that Sybil Andrews herself described, is its escalators. Okay. So it's sort of a very early form of escalator. It also makes me think quite a bit of Dr. Seuss.
Yeah.
This particular image.
It's all arches, no straight lines.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's what a lot of these works of art look like. There's a very dynamic composition, usually something up close, a subject like people carrying umbrellas or singers or rowers or some particular motif that's seen relatively close up and then partially abstracted and turned into these sort of sweeping, curving lines.
That's beautiful. What other ones should we talk about? Something that I guess is very different from that one. This one's pretty different.
This one is very different. This is a very unusual print. This is Cyril Power, and Sybil Andrews and Cyril Power were the ones who created the London Transport posters together. But this print by Power, not surprisingly, he was very interested in medieval art because he was a medieval historian. So his main job at the Grosvenor School was to teach architecture classes, specifically medieval architecture and modern architecture. But he also took these line of cut classes. He was a teacher there, but he also took these classes with Claude Flight, the main teacher. And what we have here is, the title is Monseigneur St. Thomas, but what it actually depicts is the murder of Thomas à Becket, who was the Archbishop of Canterbury in the 12th century. So a very historical subject versus the more modern subjects that we usually associate with line of cuts and the machine age. So here we have Sir Thomas à Becket in the very center with a red halo behind his head. He's being preyed upon by his murderers with long curving swords.
And they look like knights. Mm-hmm. And as we mentioned in the last line of cut, we talked about, again, not a straight line. Like you said, their arms, the sword is almost an extension of their arm, just sweeping down on this man who's about to be murdered.
Exactly. You rarely see a straight line in these works. And one of the interesting things about line of cut is in some cases, you may think you're looking at an orange color, but what you're actually looking at is a red printed over the yellow. So what the artist would often do is layer certain colors to create other colors. But they really had to think very far in advance to consider, okay, what color do I print first, and how is that going to impact the other colors?
Yeah, I don't think I could wrap my brain around it, trying to plan one out. I'm just like, well, here's hoping. Stamp.
Exactly. It's like an exercise in subtraction. This is another woman artist whose name is Lil Schutte, who was Swiss. And she came to the Grosvenor School for a very short period of time to study, again, with this very important teacher, Claude Flight. And then she went back to Switzerland. And she would make prints, and she would send them to her teacher, and he would correct them and send them back to her by mail. Claude Flight not only taught these classes and himself wrote treatises on the line of cut and handbooks about sort of how-to books, how to create a line of cut yourself, but he also marketed and exhibited their works. So Lil Schutte exhibited works in the late 1920s and early 1930s at a place called the Red Fern Gallery. And certain works sold fairly well, this being one of them. And here we see ice hockey. We see a number of ice hockey players, and even though it's a square line of cut, it really becomes a very circular composition with these carved in circles and hockey players all gathering probably around a puck, which we can't see in the center.
And it's shades of green and there's white and black, but it is Kind of a monochromatic scheme.
Yeah, a little bit more monochromatic than the others. And everything that you see white is really just the white of the paper underneath it. But because this was a relatively popular subject for her, she printed a second edition of it, which she marketed in the U.S. So it's marked down below USA edition. And here we see it has 1 out of 50. So she eventually intended to print an edition of 50. We don't know if she printed 2, 10, 50. We have no idea. But then the artist writes on the side, ice hockey, one print sold to the Artist Society of the British Museum. So she's sort of promoting and marketing herself right on the print.
And what does it mean for these works, any of these prints, that there may and likely is more than one of them?
You know, even though most prints are printed in editions, the interesting thing about Linacut is because there are so many colors and because most of them are inked and printed by hand by the artist, each one is slightly different. So you won't see one print that looks exactly like the next.
We have one by Sybil Andrews, the other transportation poster person.
Yes, exactly. And this is a really dynamic image that I think people really enjoy. It's called Speedway. And what we see is a number of motorcycle riders all curved in unison going around the circle of their track. And in the upper left, we see a very abstracted representation of the crowd. You can almost hear them screaming, cheering on. And everything is just to its very most elemental. The motorcycle is just like a T, and the hats are just like a half circle, and the masked faces are very abstracted as well. But it's really all about movement and dynamism.
I was going to say the movement is, I mean, it's amazing to be able to demonstrate that much movement in something that is, as you say, is so simple, so like elemental and base. It's really fun. It's really, really cool.
These two are very interesting prints because they look very dissimilar, but they're both about rowing. They're both about crew, which was very popular at the time. And a number of people, since this exhibition is open, have mentioned a book that's out now called The Boat, which is about the Brits and the 1934 Olympic against the Nazis. And so it became a sort of a national symbol in a way, this crew, this sport. But we have here are people coming out of the water and bringing in the boat, so they're finishing their race. And then on the right, this other print by Margaret Barnard, who was a Scottish artist. Very little is known about her. We see the rowers very carefully described, each of the muscles in their back showing up printed in a different color.
Right, and it is so, the one where they're actively rowing, so different from the one where they're taking the boat out of the water stylistically, because like you say, the muscle, those are absolutely like descriptive human beings with muscles in their backs. And then these also obvious human representations are all angles and lines.
All angles, exactly. Angles and squares and triangles and directionals and then directional movement. This wall of the exhibition shows the artist's interests in labor. Sybil Andrews, from a very young age, she grew up without a father, and she and all her siblings had to support the household. She was very interested in representation and the nobility of the labor and the worker. This particular print, I would say, is my absolute favorite in the exhibition. It's called Sledgehammers, and it's printed in all different colors, these sort of wavy circular motions, and it has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 workers hitting the sledgehammer. Wait, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Hitting the sledgehammer.
There's one crouching down. I missed him too.
Yeah, in unison. And you really get this this idea of speed and motion and labor. It's just an incredibly powerful print.
Glancing around the ones on the wall, there's also a lighting that I didn't notice before now in the one with the horses. Like one is obviously more in the sun.
Yes.
I cannot imagine thinking of that and executing it, especially in this medium.
Yeah, I mean, everything has to be very carefully thought out in advance. I mean, with the one here with the horses, this one is called Tillers of the Soil. And the tillers are both the horses and the male figure in the back who's literally tilling the soil. But you have to really think in advance where the light source is coming from, how much of the horse's face is printed lighter than the other one. So all of that has to be planned in advance. And one of the things that the artist Sybil Andrews said is she thinks this is such a great medium for teaching because it's really all about simplified forms and all about composition, creating a composition in advance and executing it.
It's fantastic.
Sybil Andrews left the UK eventually and moved to Canada near Calgary. And here we see a group of lumberjacks. You can tell by their shirts. And they're at this is called coffee bar. So we have a sense of them taking a break from their work, joining together at the coffee bar. But again, these very angular, sharp forms. One really interesting thing about Sybil Andrews is she left all of her papers to a museum called the Glenbow Museum in Calgary. So when we were doing research for this exhibition, we contacted the archives, and they had entire treatises that she wrote that had never been published, letters, documents. She very carefully documented in a notebook each print she made, how many colors, what colors. So everything was beautifully documented, and you can get all that stuff basically on the internet. You can do your research. It's a new time for research. It's really exciting, the things that you can find on the internet.
And now a big question, I guess. Where does this exhibition and these works fit in a sort of timeline of art? You mentioned earlier that it was very different from what was widely discussed as art and accepted as art at the time it started being created. So what does it mean? How has it grown? What is like the general conception of it? Mm-hmm. And what will the show teach people?
Well, it's an interesting moment in British art because it's between the wars, and in many ways it's a very in-between period. It's these linocuts were created during a very specific moment, and then they just basically died out, and people didn't know that much about them. So it's really sort of, for me and for a lot of visitors, I think it's a real rediscovery of an art form that's very accessible, very beautiful, but had a very specific moment in time. The teacher, Claude Flight, of all these artists, he was very interested in linocut being a medium for the worker. He thought that not only could anyone create these, children could cut the block, adults could cut the block, all sorts of people could, but that they could be marketed to someone for the price of a beer or for the price of a movie ticket. And then he also had this idea of a very sort of social aesthetic, or a socialist aesthetic and a socialist ideal, that you could go to a library and borrow a print like you'd borrow a book. Once this linocut movement sort of had its heyday, there were a number of exhibitions that were held in London. And then I would say the sort of the nail on the coffin to this movement was the England's entry into the Second World War. There was a Great Depression in England. Then after the war, everything changed. So these artists really fell into obscurity for a number of decades. But in the last, I would say, 10 to 15 years, they've become very well known. There's entire sales in London every year, sometimes a number of sales every year, just of British linocuts. And they've become extremely popular and extremely expensive as well. So they've really found their market, which is very exciting. And it fits into the Clark collection in the sense that the Clark was given this amazing gift of British art in 2007, the Manton collection, and that's really 18th and 19th and early 20th century material. And what this does is really bring our viewers and bring the Clark collection more into the 20th century.
It's a beautiful exhibition, and I thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me about it.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
J.A. Clark is the Manton Curator of Prints, Drawings, and Photographs at the Clark Art Museum in Williamstown, Massachusetts. Machine Age Modernism, Prints from the Daniel Cowan Collection, is on display at the Clark through May 17th. clarkart.edu for more information. This segment is posted on our website with images of a few of the prints we discussed. That's wamc.org/roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.